Filmmaker Wes Anderson makes movies that are eccentric, pointedly artificial, and to his fans, very funny. From his early comedies Rushmore and The Royal Tenenbaums to last year's Oscar-nominated Moonrise Kingdom, Anderson's movies have looked and sounded different from everyone else's in Hollywood. And critic Bob Mondello says that streak continues with his spoof of extravagant 1930s melodramas. It's called The Grand Budapest Hotel.
The hotel looks a bit like a pink wedding cake perched atop a Swiss Alp. Rafe Fiennes is its concierge, Monsieur Gustave H., who wears a purple tux, reeks of cologne, and likes his dowagers rich, old, insecure, vain, superficial, and blonde, a description that fits Tilda Swinton's Madame D. to a T.
I fear this may be the last time we ever see each other.
Why on earth would that be the case?
Well, I can't put it into words, but I feel it.
You've nothing to fear. You're always anxious before you travel. I admit you appear to be suffering a more acute attack on this occasion, but truly and honestly, oh dear God, what have you done to your fingernails?
I beg your pardon?
This diabolical varnish, the colour is completely wrong.
Oh really, don't you like it?
It's not that I don't like it. I am physically repulsed.
Repulsion aside, Monsieur Gustave calms her down with poetry and, accompanied by a lobby boy named Zero, sends her on her way.
She was dynamite in the sack, by the way.
She was 84.
I've had older.
Alas, shortly after leaving the hotel, Madame D dies mysteriously, so he rushes to her bedside.
You're looking so well, darling. You really are. I don't know what sort of cream they've put on you down at the morgue, but I want some.
Then discovers that she's left him a priceless painting and that her family is less than pleased.
Who's Gustave H.?
I'm afraid that's me, darling.
You'll be gathering that director Wes Anderson is simultaneously trafficking in and mocking 1930s nostalgia in Grand Budapest Hotel, but the ornamented and stylized frivolity here isn't just frivolous. The film takes its inspiration from the now mostly forgotten work of Stefan Zweig, an Austrian Jew who wrote lightweight novels and plays while watching from afar as his country was overrun by the Nazis. The movie is set in a fictional Eastern European Republic, but its refined aristocrats and jackbooted soldiers are clear enough stand-ins. In the real world, that era ended in carnage, and while the movie doesn't take the story quite that far on screen, the threat of what will be hovers even as the director offers up impish riffs on movie forms, say an action flick chase.
I want 50 men and 10 bloodhounds ready in 5 minutes.
A World War II prison thriller.
May I offer any of you inmates a plate of mush?
A whodunit.
I knew there was something fishy. We never got the cause of death.
And even a decorous slasher flick.
Who's got the throat slitter?
All of this movie-based riffing is set within not one, but two framing devices, the 30s story being a long flashback inside a 60s flashback from the 80s. The later sequences have their own narrative, letting Monsieur Gustave's sidekick Zero, a refugee from the Middle East, become the guardian of the European values that were once used to exclude him. There are star cameos galore, and as if that profusion of references and complications weren't enough, Anderson shoots each of the film's periods in a different aspect ratio. Newer scenes widescreen, 30s sequences essentially square, like films of that era. Does it sound like too much? Well, that's part of what makes Wes Anderson such an intriguing filmmaker. In an ever more homogenized Hollywood, he is an acquired taste, certainly, but one that's absolutely worth acquiring, something you'll gather from even a short stay at the Grand Budapest Hotel. I'm Bob Mondello.